Hey guys, welcome to Blue Ink Talk. This is a podcast created by the team at Blue Ink Closing and Title, LLC in Madison, Alabama. We are going to publish this podcast once a month, and it will be published on Apple, Podbean, and Spotify. We're creating this podcast to talk about real estate matters and growth in North Alabama. We want to give our listeners fun and educational information by having guest appearances from people in the real estate industry. Buckle up, because the sky is not the limit in the Rocket City, and we plan to explore it all. All views and opinions expressed by Blue Ink Talk are solely those of the host and guests and do not reflect the opinions of Blue Ink Closing and Title, LLC, and any of its affiliates. The content expressed should not be taken as legal advice and is for informational purposes only. If you do have legal questions, please contact a licensed attorney in your state. Hey guys, welcome to episode 10 of Blue Ink Talk. Yeah, that's right. 10 episodes, double digits.
Whoa!
We record this podcast once a month and it's published on Apple, Podbean, and Spotify. Today we're going to mix things up a little. We're going to play a game between ourselves instead of having a guest. But first, let's do our segment, Hey Y'all Updates with Catherine. Catherine, take it away.
Hey y'all, how's it going? You got your Halloween costumes ready?
No.
No.
Not really.
Maybe.
No.
Why? Okay. Do you?
Yeah, I do.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Are you going to reveal on this podcast what you're going to be?
Well, Ella picked it out for me. She's going to be a witch, so I have to be a witch.
Okay.
Now, did you hand make the costumes? My mom used to make my costumes, so I'm just asking if you made them for your kids.
Absolutely not.
Does your mom still make your costumes, Emily?
My mom still sometimes will make costumes for my nieces and nephews. My sister has taken over, but she used to have my mom do it.
Because y'all coordinate, all your whole family coordinates what they're going
to
be.
We try to. We've done that a few years.
Yeah.
Not every year, but yeah. It's going to be a combination of bought and handmade this year, I think.
That's pretty
cool. For convenience.
Yeah.
That sounds fun. All right, well, let's go ahead and get started with our first topic. So, Hayes, guess what? You're getting an event venue in Ditto's Landing.
I've been saying this since we moved to Huntsville. Like, Ditto's Landing is such a cool place. I haven't been there after dark, but we'll stay during the day.
Smart.
It's a great spot. It's a great little harbor. You know, a ton of people go there, have boats. There's a few races I've been, road races, that's starting in there. It's just a cool location. You know, you've got the Gunnersville property, the city harbor there. Of course, that's close to downtown Gunnersville.
Mm-hmm.
But still, there's, you know, so many people that live in Huntsville that Tennessee River area is so pretty right there with the mountains in the background. It's just a, you know, perfect place for an event. I'm glad that somebody's seeing that.
Somebody finally listened to your crazy ranting.
Yes.
So what are we doing?
So we're doing a renovation of the state dock building at Ditto's Landing. So it's going to be an inside and outside rental music event, kind of recreation, leisure destination. And it can potentially hold up to 600 people. And then they're also going to it's going to be about a $10 million deal to renovate it. But it looks like it's going to be a great spot. I know Ditto's Landing because it has a wedding venue there.
Is it on the other side?
Mm-hmm. It's on the other side of the water. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you go over the bridge and it's right there on the left. Of course, I'm forgetting the name of the venue.
Yeah, it's like, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's a cool little place, it looks like.
Yeah, it's really pretty on the inside. It's just pretty much all white and cream, and it's just really gorgeous. And
I
then
don't
the
I
water.
Know where any of this is where?
Yes, you've been with me.
2 hours away from where you live.
2 hours from
no,
here?
No, he's lying to you.
What?
In Madison.
Have I been to
this? You keep going all the way down the parkway, past Hayes's house. Keep going down till you go over the bridge, and then you're right there.
Ditto's Landing, like, you know. It's
No, I don't know. It's
the landing area there at...
at Ditto's.
River, on the river.
I just never...
In a van
never,
down by the river.
I know you can take the parkway to Coleman somehow, right?
Yeah.
Does it connect?
Yeah.
Gosh,
well,
I don't know.
You can take... I know you go to Bluntsville that way.
Oh. Okay, so there is a route that
way. Yeah, it's 231, 431. I think you have to turn off to go to Coleman and go a little separate route.
Okay.
But yeah, you can go that way. But yeah, it's just, you know, it's just south of Huntsville. Still has a Huntsville address, I believe.
Okay. So. All right. And I've been to Ditto's Landing.
You've been. You've been. She's been there. Don't let her fool you. She's helped me with a wedding drop off there. So okay. Don't let her fool you.
It's called the Tennessee River.
What?
I don't know if you've heard of it.
Yeah, it's the Tennessee River.
Because it's near Florence. Isn't the Tennessee River in Florence?
Yes, it goes across North Alabama.
In Tennessee, too, I believe.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, our topic number two is going to be Huntsville Airport was voted the second best small airport in the country.
Who beat us?
Okay, so I have that for you guys.
Perfect.
So this was with USA Today Reader's Choice Awards. So number five is, I don't know how to say it. Somebody's going to help me.
You got that.
It's R-O-N-K-O-N-K.
Roanoke.
Roanoke,
Virginia.
New York.
New York?
No. New York.
Oh, Roanoke.
That's not Roanoke. That's
No.
Roanacoma.
Roanacoma?
Oh, that's not Roanoke. That's a totally different word, Catherine.
I don't know. Somewhere in New York. It's one of the smallest ones. It's number five.
Roanacoma?
If somebody knows, chime in and let us know.
Ronk-onk. You think it's Ron-con or Ronk-onk?
Oma. If there's anybody listening from Ronk-onk-moma, New York, let us know how to pronounce your hometown.
Yeah, so. Or Ronkonkoma.
It's probably Ronkon.
All right, number four was Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, which is a nice airport. I have been to it. Then number three, Wichita, Kansas. Mm-hmm. And then number two, Huntsville, Alabama, baby. And then number one was Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Grand Rapids, Michigan.
I don't even know where Grand Rapids, Michigan is.
It's
next
to
the rapids.
You think so?
It's in Michigan.
We're in rare form today.
Well, you know, Michigan, there's upper and lower, right?
Yeah, the upper peninsula.
Yeah, and there's like words for it. Like, I'm sure it's not
the UP.
Uppers, and there's like a word for people who live in the lower peninsula.
LP.
I don't know.
It's like LA. You know, people say they're from L.A., they're from lower Alabama.
Yeah.
Hey, I just don't know if I'm believing you right now.
People say they're from L.A., that means they're from Louisiana.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Mm. That's part of that. And Los Angeles, of course.
All right.
Is this staying
in? This is staying in. Either way, guys, Huntsville's number two, and I believe it. It's a great airport. I just flew in it recently for a conference, and it's just so nice and pleasant. I remember we were somewhere, we were in Denver, and I was just like, this airport is so ridiculous. I just want my little Huntsville airport. It's so nice.
And there's a nice golf course next to it as well. We played there.
Yeah.
I had a golf ball onto the runway.
Did you really?
Yeah.
The wind took it. The wind probably took it. It was so windy. But
oh, yeah.
No, but really, I do like this airport. Brag on it as much as I can. Now, the flights are expensive. I mean, that's...
Well,
that is
one of the highest
trade-off.
In the country,
but
yeah.
I mean, being able to arrive about an hour before every flight, you can get from the parking structure to your gate in 20 minutes.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's really...
It is nice.
That's worth it, almost, instead of waiting in those long lines in Nashville, Birmingham.
Yeah, exactly.
It is. Okay, so number three, Hayes, take note for the dogs.
Oh, all yes.
Right, so Galaxy of Lights, yay. It's going to be open November 17th through December 31st. I know that there are a ton of new things that are coming to town, and everybody likes the new and popular and wants to try their things out, but I just love the Galaxy of Lights. I love walking through it. I love driving through it. I just love it all. So the first I'm going to go over is the Walking Nights. It's November 17th through 26th. the 29th to 30th, and then December 1st through 3rd, and 16th and 24th. And I will say, if you can walk through it, it is so cool. If you can try to go on a night that it's somewhat warm. We went last time, last year, and it was freezing cold. But we had to go because that was when my friend Natalie got engaged there. And we already had it planned out and everything. All of our friends were there, so we had to do it. But it was a cold night. But if you can try to catch it on a warmish night, I would say do it. And then the dog walks. They have the dog where you can take your dogs, Hayes.
There we go.
Every Monday and Tuesday during the walking nights, which is November 20th and 21st, and then December 18th and 19th.
Do they have to be on a leash?
Yeah, I'm gonna say your dog's probably. No, we haven't met Ruthie.
Ruthie's sweet.
Yeah,
sweet.
We haven't met her, so she might
or
be
camp.
Good. To,
or camp.
Oh, okay, that's right. Hey, attention, everybody. Hey's got a new puppy. We hadn't announced that.
Camp War Eagle is his full name.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so then the last is the driving nights, and that's December 15th, or December 4th through the 15th, and December 26th through the 31st. So I would suggest doing it. I love that it also benefits Botanical Gardens. They use this money throughout the year, make things beautiful all year long. I just love it. Support it. Think you should do it.
So I've done both the walking and the driving. Which one do you recommend personally, Catherine?
With the kids, I'm gonna say the walking. With just because the driving, it just can take a while to get in with them, and you know, they're done by the end of it.
Sure.
And then they don't want to get back in their car seats whenever we're done at the end because they've been out of them for like an hour.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. How about you, Hayes?
I've only done the driving tour.
Yeah.
Now, I do know that there's a 5K that runs through
there. Yeah.
There is. So I didn't pull that information for you. I'm sorry, Hayes. But no, there is. So you should look at doing it.
Yeah. I think it benefits the Botanical Gardens as well. So.
Yeah.
I think it's early December, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's. I would say, of course, driving because I haven't done the walking. But.
I think if you're gonna go do the driving, so it starts at nightfall. I think is the official time. So just depending on what time it gets dark every night. But I always suggest head over there at dusk because you get in line. A line forms, and then that way you're one of the first cars that's going through. Otherwise, you get stuck in the line of cars waiting to get in. Yeah. So the earlier you go, the better. Or I suppose you could just go right at the very end and sneak in.
Yeah.
This is for driving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good suggestion.
All right. So our next point is going to kind of be talking about what could potentially happen. So Madison County Commission ARPA money, it needs to be distributed. And that's the American Rescue Plan Act. This money should go... Or it's going to be debated amongst the commissioners of where the money should go. And it's about $72,000 that was given to us in 2021. Right? And there's about 23.6 million. Sorry, I am tired, guys. $23.6 million left that still needs to be dispersed. So they're going to potentially use that for water and roads, and then they have $7 million to remain for the community development. So we'll see what they want to do with it. It's pretty much each commissioner of the counties are going to talk about it and figure out where it's going to go.
Yeah.
So
well, Hayes, you and I were just talking yesterday, they should do a luxury Madison City golf course.
Yeah,
in addition to the one that you played at.
I know that there was, the new, they took the old municipal golf course. And
right.
They turned it into a running world-class cross-country, and, they host huge events over there. But still, I think it would be beneficial. I don't, know the numbers, but it would be beneficial to have some type of public golf course, because you know we have a lot of good golf courses. You know, several are private, and even the public ones are nice. But I think there could possibly be another one, especially in Madison too. You've got the airport course, Sunset Landing, but also a little upscale type, one too as well. So. Anyway, that would be a good thing to consider for Madison County, and we'll see what happens. And
I think they should do a water park like they did in Coleman.
Montgomery has one, too.
Montgomery has one. Coleman has that one that does really well. Yeah. I mean, I know it's like only
Decatur has one.
Yeah. So we need one, right?
There's one on the Coley River, too. There's a natural one. I'm joking.
So we could use one, right?
It's called a whitewater rapid, right, Hayes?
Natural water park. But I don't know.
That's a good idea. It's been a big hit, I want to say, in Montgomery. I had several friends that live in Montgomery, and they've been to it, and in Auburn, too. But I think that's a good idea. Maybe even a new courthouse.
New courthouse would be nice.
Yeah.
Like a county courthouse, right? Because we're getting the federal one.
That's right. The brand new federal, that one's going to be massive. But also, since the recording now is over at the Service Center, which is off Memorial Parkway in Oakwood, that's where the probate office is. So anyway, I've heard people talk about the need for a new courthouse.
So who do we talk to about our ideas, Catherine?
You go to the meeting.
And talk to your commissioner.
Exactly. That's who you tell, who you want this stuff to go to. I'm excited to see that some of it's going towards water and road updates, because it's probably what's paying for the ones that are outside our building.
You should get paid for that.
I should get paid for that. We won't talk about that on the podcast, but I will claim that I was the one that called the city and said there was an issue going on outside that did not smell pleasant.
Could have been a citywide sewer disaster. If you hadn't stepped in.
Exactly.
Not literally stepped in.
Fault. Yeah. So, that money could be going towards that. I don't know.
Don't
but it's
worry.
Awesome.
They're working on your plaque. You'll get it next
Oh,
week.
Good. Oh, good. Poor fans that are listening right now. Okay. So, my last point that I want to talk about is just a PSA again to remember to pay your property taxes. They are due at the end of the year. If your loan, if you have a mortgage and you have a loan and all that and they pay it, don't worry about it. But if
double check.
But property taxes are due December 31st. After that, you get penalized depending on which county each week or each month. So, pay your taxes by December 31st, folks.
Preferably before.
Yes, preferably before. So, also, fun fact, Blue Ink will have Christmas trees at the Madison City and the Huntsville City Tinsel Trails this year.
Both.
Exactly. We've never done the Huntsville one before.
News alert.
Aaron and Christina in our office are going to go the day the trees come out at the Huntsville one and run for the most beautiful tree possible. So
this is Rush? What is it?
Because in Huntsville, you go pick your tree, right?
Yeah, you go pick your tree.
Like bid day.
Yeah, kind of.
I was more like Black Friday when the doors open.
Yeah.
And you like run to grab the good TV or something.
Yeah.
Sad note, Black Friday is not like that anymore. I have gone.
Sad note.
It is. So I used to love the adrenaline of it. Look. I will never forget. It was like 2 minutes. We were so off topic. 2 minutes before the doors opened at Target. And I was like, I don't know where my register is. I was working the registers at the time. And they were like, oh, Catherine, you're actually in electronics. I didn't know the first thing about electronics, okay? And so I'm standing behind this counter, and all of a sudden, I just see this storm of people just running at me. I was never more happier in my life to have a register in front of me, like, that could protect me. And then they knew exactly what they wanted, though. They were yelling at me what they wanted, so it was crazy.
So you're sad it's not like that anymore?
Yeah, it was fun, like, back in the day. It was fun to do it. Now I'll go, and I'm just leisurely, got me my pumpkin spice or my cinnamon whatever, and I'm walking through Starbucks or the Target. I always do Target first. And, it's just so nice.
Well, that's because they have all the online sales now. You've got online sales, you've got Cyber Monday, so...
Small Business Tuesday.
Yeah, exactly.
I do love that they're not making people go on Thanksgiving anymore, because I just couldn't do that. I got to have my little bit relief time. I rather would wake up at 4 a.m. and go versus having to cook all day long and then host everybody and then clean it all up. And then take a 30-minute nap and then have to go stand in line for 3 hours before the doors even open and then run to something.
Well, and also don't forget that that day is a work day, you know, the Friday after Thanksgiving.
No, it's not a work day. That's a holiday. It's called Black Friday holiday.
I don't think that's a federal holiday.
It's not a federal, but it's
I think it's a Catherine holiday.
Hey, look, you know, most people take it, though. Don't get me started. So,
okay. What were we talking about again? Property taxes?
No, the tinsel trail. So, starting December 1st through pretty much January 1st, you can go see the trees, and we'll have them. They'll be set up, and I don't know our themes for sure yet. They're not set in stone. But make sure that you go by and check it out. If you snag a picture and send it to me, there might be something being thrown your way. You never know.
Yeah, a tag.
Yeah.
Some swag.
Yeah, some swag. You never know. So, but yeah, snag that picture for us. And that's all I've got for the Hey Y'all updates.
All right.
Let's go play a game.
All right, guys, this week we're going to do something a little different. Instead of having a guest this month, we thought we'd play a game between myself and Emily. Catherine is going to be the judge. She's going to ask us about 10 questions. She's going to read off, and the first person to hit this buzzer and answers correctly wins a prize. Each of us will get 3 guesses before the answer is given. And some of the questions are related to real estate and the title industry, and some are not. If we can round or relate the question back to Blue Ink Closing and Title, we get an extra half a point. Right?
Bonus points.
Right, Catherine?
Half a point. That's right. Yeah, you read it right.
All right. And I'm just going to say a little disclosure. This is not legal advice. This is just a fun game, so do not rely on this. I know we have our Alabama Bar disclosure on part of this podcast, but please do not take this as legal advice.
I also would not assume anything we say is accurate or true or in any way something you need to be following.
Oh, it's going
to
be accurate, all right.
Don't take it to heart. No. Here, I like to win, so I will buzz as fast as I can, even if I don't know the answer.
Oh, my gosh.
It'd just be okay.
She's got some obstacles.
I think the buzzer is closer to you, actually.
Computer.
We need to measure that buzzer.
So many things between me and the buzzer, which is really not fair.
Okay, well.
If you hear just things falling over, it's because I'm trying to get to the buzzer.
Okay, are you guys ready? I've picked out some wonderful... No, put your hand back. Put your hand back. Your hand's got to be behind the table.
Behind the table? What about
Yo, family she feud she had rules. Her hand right beside the buzzer.
Like family feud rules where we have our hands on the edge of the table.
Wait, nope.
Your phone. Mm-mm.
Yeah, I know. I'm gonna watch it before I answer the or ask the question. Hand back, Hayes. Hand back. All right. Are we ready?
Okay, I just wanted to make
you
sure
just
the
had to do
worked.
It to try.
I had to make
okay.
sure the buzzer worked.
All right, here we go. Y'all ready?
Yep.
Okay. What year was the title insurance policy created in Alabama, and what year was it amended? That was Hayes.
1973.
That is wrong.
Oh.
What? What was it? Can you repeat the question, please?
What year was the title insurance policy created in Alabama, and what year was it amended?
1992?
Nope. You don't...
You said we get 3 guesses.
You get 3 guesses. You don't have to hit the buzzer each time if y'all are just not knowing.
I thought you were about to ask this in a sentence, like a spelling bee. 1985.
Nope.
Can you give us a decade, a clue? Are we supposed
Hayes
to know
was
this?
Close the first time.
Oh, okay. What did you say the first time?
I'm not telling.
It doesn't work. The buzzer doesn't work. Oh, no.
Oh, you it's broke the... Oh, you broke it. Oh, no.
1971.
No. You have broke that
1976.
Up. No.
1975.
Y'all are past your thing. Y'all are doing...
You didn't ring the buzzer, if that's true.
Oh, that's true. Where did this question come from? And then when was it amended? I can tell you that at Blue Ink Closing and Title, do I get a half point if I tie the question, even if I'm wrong?
No.
Oh, well, then I'm not telling you right. what I was about
okay.
to say.
Okay, I'm gonna answer this one for you guys. The Alabama Title Insurance Act was created in 1975, and it was...
That's what I said.
That's what I said.
No, you did say 75, didn't you? I said 76.
Or did I say 74?
You said 75.
Okay.
Christina, call it back and let us know. Nobody's getting a point for that one. I'm just saying it now.
I can go to the replay booth on that one.
Yeah, like the commercials with the flag. All right, so
that's
continue
a cool
the
game.
Answer.
What is that? Her buzzer has turned into a...
Catherine's just playing
game
apps,
app.
Phone apps now.
No.
Oh, you've got to win that?
I actually got an idea. What if Hayes and I have our own buzzer sounds?
Okay, that's fine. That's fine, because this app's being weird. That's fine.
Hayes, what's your
sound? Okay, there's the buzzer. All right, thank God. Here we go. Okay. Stop hitting the buzzer.
Like
okay. All right. Are y'all ready?
Yep.
What is the difference between a title company and a title insurance company? That was Hayes.
So the difference between a title company and a title insurance company, the title insurance company is the company that writes the title insurance, that insures the title insurance itself. It's the actual policy that you get when you buy a home or you're the lender involved, which we do that all the time. We work with lenders and buyers here all the time, and we issue those pursuant to the title insurance company's requirements and their policies. But the title company is the actual closing company that does closing and title here, but they review the title, you know, make sure everything is done pursuant to what the title insurance company needs. So they issue the title company policy pursuant to what the title insurance company needs.
All right. You want to round it out to how Blue Ink?
Sure. Yeah. We have a couple of, so Emily and I are both are title insurance agents here in the state of Alabama. And so, you know, anytime that you buy a home or commercial property, usually the buyers get an owner's title insurance policy. And so we, of course, review title and see, make sure it's marketable, insurable, that sort of thing. And pursuant to what the title insurance company's requirements are, we're able to issue that policy. And that's done, you know, we could have the closing, and then we issue the policy a few days thereafter to the respective party. So we work
once the thing has been recorded.
That's
once
right.
The instrument
once the,
has been
the deed,
recorded.
Mortgage, whatever's, you know, you're right. Instrument's been recorded with the county probate office, then we're able to issue those policies. Emily, you correct me if I'm wrong there.
No, that sounds correct. So Blue Ink Closing and Title, we're a title company. And then, for instance, First American is a title insurance company.
That writes with us.
That's our
that we write with.
Yeah.
So the definition is a title company typically handles the closing and settlement services, including the title search, while a title insurance company underwrites and issues the title insurance policy. So
there we go.
There
good
you
job,
go.
Hayes.
Good job. Hayes got a point and a half for that one.
All right.
Oh my gosh.
All right. I'm on the board.
All right. Next question. Name four companies that Elon Musk currently owns.
I think I only own three. Tesla, SpaceX, X, formerly known as Twitter, and something else. Let's see.
Can I Google?
Does he own his...
Mm-mm.
He has two children, I think, or three. Does that help?
Nope.
All right, that's three.
There's got to be... What is that? What's that other company? It's... can you give us a hint? Is like, what type of industry is it?
Do you know these companies, Catherine?
Oh, I have the definition of all the companies because I knew you would probably ask me about them.
Okay, well, SpaceX is his space exploration company. X was used to be Twitter. Bad deal on his end. Tesla is a car company. And then he must own a manufacturing for the parts that are in Tesla, maybe. Or maybe a Bitcoin company. Bitcoin company? No? Hayes, do you know?
I have no idea.
You're going to have to help us with the fourth one then.
Okay.
The clue. Have we heard of
how would you tie that back to Blue Ink closing
internet?
He owns
the internet?
I thought Al Gore owned that.
Oh, he must have a search engine. No? He owns?
You know the answer to this. I'm going to say it and you're going to be like, oh my gosh.
Ask Jeeves. Y'all remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. Internet? Is it an internet browser?
No.
Etsy.
No. Oh my gosh.
PayPal.
No.
Well, that's a good guess.
No, PayPal I think was bought.
That's a good guess, I think.
Are y'all done?
I've been done.
Yeah, I mean, I don't.
The one I was talking about was Starlink.
I've heard of that.
Oh, my parents have Starlink. I actually know the answer. That's correct.
Yeah.
Starlink is an internet service provider. I should have known that.
Yeah.
You did. You said internet earlier.
And I said you should know that. He also owns a Tesla energy operations company as well.
What is it called?
I said Tesla twice. Energy. No. No.
You did say a subsidiary.
Yeah.
He has a Neutralink, OpenAI, DeepMind, SolarCity.
I was about to say AI.
OpenAI, that's ChatGPT's company.
OpenAI is an American artificial intelligence organization consisting of nonprofit OpenAI, Inc. Let's see. He has XAI. Let's see. He's got The Boring Company. He's got Zip2. He's got X.com. And he has the Tesla Energy. So.
There you go.
Yeah.
My parents use their Starlink internet to go to the Blue Ink Closing and Title Facebook page.
Oh, I'll give you half a point for that. Why not? Because you're not on the board yet.
What? We're not on X, are we?
No.
Okay. No.
Okay. Just no. I didn't know. Just wanted to check.
Take a point. Take a half a point away.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
I just wanted to check.
All right. The next one you're gonna fill in the blank, and there's two blanks. It's the same word. So, an abundance that arises by law when a blank for. Hang on. I gotta get the buzzer going. An abundance that arises by law when a blank for the recovery of money is recorded.
Surplus.
No. Let me finish the sentence, Hayes. Okay, let me restart. An abundance that arises by law when a blank of recovery of money is recorded in a jurisdiction in which the blank debitor owes real property. An involuntary lien.
You read that again.
Read that one more time.
An abundance that arises by law when a blank for the recovery of money is recorded in a jurisdiction in which the blank debitor owns real property. An involuntary lien.
Owns, what's the end of that? Owns property.
Owns real property.
What's the involuntary lien part?
That's his second sentence.
I have no idea.
Judgment?
A judgment what?
Judgment
day.
Order? Lien?
Oh, I was about to say that.
Yeah. Judgment lien. A judgment lien. Yeah. I'm just gonna say Aaron knew the answer to that, like right away. Y'all are not
that sentence
with
was
it.
Tough.
That is a really long sentence.
That is the true definition of what a judgment lien is. Per Karen Kugler.
Thankfully, I've never had a judgment lien against me. So.
Yeah, but we verify them all the time.
Blue Ink Closing and Title checks for judgment liens in our title searches and examinations.
There's your half point, Emily. All right, Hayes, got to get on it. This next one is going to be a good one for you.
I know how to get bonus points.
How many miles are in a township?
I should know this. It's in one of those books.
It is in one of those books.
I'm going to say 22.
Nope.
26.
Go down, guys.
18.
No.
20.
No. Go down.
6.
Yes. That was your third answer. Yes. Okay. How do you want to round it out to Blue Ink?
So
the attorney at Blue Ink Closing the Title don't know the answer to that question.
One thing to look at, so it's pretty cool. I'm sure most of y'all have heard of the Meridian Street here in Huntsville. So there, everything is kind of based upon what used to be that meridian, I believe, in like the old land surveying.
In Alabama. Yeah.
And so the way, if you have an old legal, it says, you know, this quarter section of this section, township range. That's how you can still go on, I believe, Madison County's tax website still has those sections listed on there. So you can make sure that your property, as it's legally described in your deed, sits within that section according to the tax map, because it has a little number there in each corner of each township. And we always check that. You know, that's one of the things that we do in looking at title. We make sure, even if, say, you know, your property sits in within a subdivision, it obviously was part of, you know, a larger tract at one time. And going back to, you know, reviewing title, one of the things that we do, and you know, it's a good thing to check the township range of each mm-hmm. legal that we get.
Yeah.
And you're right, it's 6 miles.
Yeah.
And it's the radius, is that right? 6 mile radius. Because it's like it's mm-hmm. a triangle.
Yeah.
I mean, not triangle. So it's a box, yeah. Basically.
So
like
the
just
northern
rectangle.
Line is meridian, right? What's the southern line? Do you remember? Do you know, Catherine?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't know. Look that up later. Do you know?
Okay. I used to. Back when I had to know this stuff. It's somewhere down there. It's Saint something, maybe.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay. All right. Okay, next question. What does the term RESPA mean, and what is the definition of it?
Click. RESPA stands for Real Estate Settlement Protection Act.
Nope.
Real Estate.
RESPA?
Yeah.
RESPA.
Real Estate Settlement.
Real estate, settlement, purchase, agreement. No, that's not it. I know that's not it.
Which letter am I off on?
P.
Real estate, settlement.
Protection Act.
That's what I said.
Is that what you said?
No.
Yeah, it's the, it's the real estate.
Proficiency.
Settlement. Planning Act?
No.
That's your third. Just kidding. I think that was your second.
I don't know.
I'm going to say, we already said protection. provision. I don't know. No?
No.
What is it?
Procedures.
Procedures. Real Estate Settlement Procedures Act.
There you
and
go.
And what is it? That was the act that was set up by the CFPB to That's regulate right. Real estate closing transactions and the procedures to make them more uniform. And it should have come out of the financial crisis
that's what I was about to say.
That we had in 2008. So it's a federal act that was passed to provide more consumer information and knowledge to prevent another financial disaster related to real estate.
And it's more of a, like, you know, making the buyers aware, fully aware of maybe what they're doing, what they're purchasing.
Yeah.
You know, go. That's why all those fees are itemized from your lender at the closing. You know, everything has gone over several times.
Yeah.
And that may be one of the reasons, you know, in residential properties, your closing disclosure has to be sent to you at least 3 days in advance. I think that's part of that.
Yeah. The big push for it was basically that consumers should receive their documents. They shouldn't be seeing things for the first time when they're sitting at the closing table in like a high signing pressure situation.
For residential properties.
Yeah, for residential properties, you should have an opportunity to read the most important documents prior to, you know, you showing up blue ink for your closing.
Yeah.
Okay, next question.
Anybody keeping score?
I am. Emily's ahead of you by a point.
I am?
Yep.
Oh.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. What book holds the record for the fastest selling book in history?
The Bible.
No.
What? That would be the new Britney Spears memoir.
Oh my
that just
gosh.
Came out.
No.
The Woman in Me.
The Woman in Me.
The Woman in Me.
Poor Justin Timberlake. He's been thrown under the bus.
Excuse me, is that not the answer?
That is not the answer.
Well, if it's not the Bible and it's not Britney Spears' memoir, what could it possibly be?
It holds the Guinness Book of World Records, and it came out in 2007.
Harry Potter?
Which one, though, Hayes? Harry Potter.
And the Gobbler's Stone?
That's not even one of them. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows.
Ding, ding, ding.
What?
That is correct. Oh. I'll give you guys half a point each for that.
Okay. I didn't know that. I'm still book one. So
it sold 8.3 million copies in one day. That was 345,000 in 1 hour. Per hour.
Wow. I was at the midnight release. I bought it.
Of that
the
book
day it
you
was
were
released.
You helped this Guinness Book World Record. Wow.
And I work at Blue Ink Closing and Title. Give me my bonus point.
I am not giving you a bonus point for that. So that's pretty impressive though. So
well, I will say I'll incorporate it and get my half point here. We did have a Harry Potter half a day a year or so ago. Didn't we celebrate this?
We had a Harry Potter themed baby shower.
Oh, that's
Catherine.
That's right.
Oh my god.
That's
closing
right.
The title.
Credit me, my
half point.
I remembered. Who remembered?
We should each get a half point for that one.
I was like, what? We had a Harry Potter something here.
A Harry Potter half day. We should do a Harry Potter half day every July 31st.
Do you know what July 31st represents?
He got inducted to Hogwarts.
Yes, Hayes, that's the answer.
Right. Next question, please.
Okay. Gosh. Okay. All right.
How many questions are there?
We're like on 15
yeah.
right now.
Aren't we? Yeah, we've only got. We don't have any more. Okay. What's the E word that means someone other than the person who owns a property has the legal right to use it, at least with specific reason?
What were you going to say?
Boing! Easement?
That is correct.
I only heard half the question.
I did too.
I was trying to get the buzzer turned back on.
Okay.
We should had our own buzzers.
Sorry.
There's going to be a next time.
Hey, I think this is going great. Okay, all right. You want to round it out to Blue Ink?
Yeah, one of our favorite realtors who is on the show, Kristen King, loves easements. And she sends us all of her easement questions.
That is correct. Love you, Kristen. Mean it. Okay. All right. Next question. I'm going to get the buzzer ready since my phone keeps turning off. Sorry, guys.
I have my own buzzer.
Okay. All right. What is the primary purpose of a title search in the title insurance process in Alabama?
That was a short one there. That's back to the game. Yeah. All right, so the primary reason of a title search in Alabama is to, so there's different lengths of time that we can search it for. Usually for residential properties, it's approximately 30 years or so. And it, what it reveals is any and all matters that may be pertaining to that property, previous owners, that sort of thing, any liens, judgments, which should be revealed in that process. And so what it's done for is, you know, as long as everything looks good to what our title insurance requirements are, we can issue a title commitment and therefore move forward with any type of closing that's done for a, you know, whether there's a lender involved or it's a cash deal. So that's what we do as attorneys here at Blue Ink is review those title searches. And, you know, it one of the things too, people will just, you know, whether they may not be having a closing with us and they just are interested in a property and they're like, hey, can you do a title search? And we can do that outside of closings as well. So
with the law firm, but yes,
that's under the law firm side of things. And
Yeah, I will say, and I'm not trying to get any bonus points, is that we do use third parties to order our title searches. That's right. But we do our title examinations in-house here. Hayes or I will review that title report. So if you're closing with us, we can answer title history questions. Some offices maybe outsource that, but I will say that I'm proud that we do our own. So that gives us a knowledge, you know, about the file when we're doing the closings.
That's right.
And if it's in any way a little wonky and we question it for a second, anything that's in it, we consult our underwriters with Alliant and with First American.
That's right. And they are super helpful.
That's right. Okay. Now let me add up the points. Y'all decide who you think. Oh, no, wait. We got one more. Sorry. No. We got one more. Okay.
All right. Nothing. Double or nothing.
Okay.
All right. Laser's not working.
So, there are potentially five answers to this.
Oh.
You only have to give me one.
What?
What president was a law professor? Yes.
Oh, I have to answer?
Yes.
Buzzed.
Taft.
That's correct.
How did you know that?
Do you know any more?
He was a judge. Barack Obama.
That is correct.
Bill Clinton.
That is correct.
He was in the ethics part of the law firm. So, all right. So,
that's
Bill,
three.
If you're listening, Bill, what we went over next. Well,
if you're listening,
I'm giving you Beth a point for it.
I
you know,
two.
I'm only giving you a point.
Okay. All right.
You know the other two?
That's what I was trying to think of. You didn't think I'd come up with Taft, did you?
I did not. That was in 1930 or 1913.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. How about Johnson?
No.
There's two of them.
LBJ?
So I thought I would help myself out by naming.
What is that?
Carter. Jimmy Carter.
No.
It wasn't. Thomas Jefferson was not, even though University of Virginia.
I don't know. The older ones, I don't even know how many.
Had to be somebody maybe from the, because FDR wasn't.
No.
I don't think. Herbert Hoover? No. He just had a vacuum business, right? I'm joking.
That's right. Are these older, like way back when, or are they
more recent? They're older.
Okay, all right, well that helps.
James K. Polk.
No.
William Henry Harrison.
No.
Harding.
Can y'all
Hayes.
Just...
Rutherford B. Hayes.
No. Can y'all just give up now?
Madison. Monroe.
Oh. What was that guy? No, you weren't.
Roosevelt.
Teddy? Teddy was a good
Okay. Player. Woodrow Wilson and John Quincy Adams.
That's who I
John
was thinking,
Quincy
John Quincy
Adams. Yeah, we both. That was the tip of our tongue.
Right. Okay. All right. Well... The winner by 1 point is Emily.
Oh.
Y'all want to do a bonus question for the fun of it?
Sure, yeah. We'll do a bonus question.
Okay. All right. The credit risk on a mortgage loan.
Wow.
Okay. The credit risk on a mortgage loan in the U.S. is often absorbed by one of the three human-named surrounded federal agencies, including Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and what is the third agency?
Wait, you know it?
No.
Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and...
Not Ronald McDonald.
Have we heard of this?
I never heard of it, but it is one of the main ones, so...
I was gonna say Goldman
they
Sachs.
All rhyme.
Yeah.
Freddie, say them again. Freddie Mae.
No.
Fannie Mae. And Freddie Mac.
And starts with an F.
It's a lady. Is it a lady's name?
It is a lady's name.
Gosh, what is that? It's in the Coogler book, I think.
All of this is from the Coogler book.
I know.
Not all of it.
Well, not the Harry Potter question.
Pretty sure that was in
Can you give us a clue?
Starts with a G.
G?
Mm-hmm.
Ginny.
Ginny Ray. Pay. May. Day.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, what?
Ginny May.
Ginny May.
We get a half point. I said Ginny, you said May.
Okay.
Ginny, May.
Well, that's still, if I give you both a half point, she still wins by a point, so.
That last question, that was not a good bonus question. I thought it was going to be something fun.
That is fun. Yeah. I have another one on here. You want to hear that one?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. The government-sponsored enterprise known as Fannie Mae is actually FNMA, which stands for Federal National What Association?
Say the acronym again.
FNMA.
It's not mortgage?
It is mortgage.
I was going to say, don't you think it would obviously be mortgage?
Yes.
Okay.
That's it.
Well,
mortgage
that's
Association,
it.
Right?
Yeah. That's it. My goodness. Y'all are a mess and a half, but y'all did great.
Okay.
Did great.
Well. All right. Well, that was it on... The questions today. Up next, we're going to do a little quick segment on Did That Really Happen? All right, guys, on this segment of Did That Really Happen, we're going to say a funny story here. We had a closing that occurred last few years, and we won't name any names, do any specifics, but it was an interesting closing. I've never seen anything like it. It involved several sellers,
six
people, and they're all kind of spread out. Several were out of town.
Yeah, it's not uncommon to have one, maybe two of the parties not be local here in Huntsville, or within our 30-minute range. That's okay. This one was
kind of all over the place. It was just trying to nail people down on a, of course, closing dates can be a good thing to get nailed down, set in stone for people. But this particular family,
we'll say this was family land that was passed down. So it was multiple cousins that owned the land. Mm-hmm. So they were all spread out. If you think about where your cousins are, they're all over.
Yeah. So we had to track down a lot of people, but we think our favorite cousin or family member. Yeah. I'll let Hayes talk about.
So he's a local guy. We know him. Actually saw him a few weeks ago downtown at Sam and Greg's. And he's really nice family. You know, couldn't say enough nice things. And he started talking to my wife and telling her this story. So, you know, we're trying to get everybody scheduled for closing. He informed us that he took a last-minute trip with a group of friends down the Indiana River the day of closing. Now, this is a huge, huge transaction, very important to the family, and just he said, "Oh yeah, well, by the way, I'm going to be out of town, going to be on a trip down a river in the middle of nowhere." Well, you know, we have the capability to, you know, we love everybody. If you can come to closing, we want you at the closing table if possible. But of course, that didn't work out in this situation. So
that was too late. It was too late to move the closing.
Too late.
Too many moving parts.
That's right. So we had to get it done that day. So we, you know, work with several notaries, and Emily, you correct me if I'm wrong. We had to schedule a notary to meet him.
Mm-hmm.
They drove, I want to say a little while, maybe an hour or two to meet him at a incredibly, incredibly small town and port on the Illinois River, the notary did, to meet him to sign documents.
Yeah, we had to figure out where the boat was going to be on this day at a certain time on this little trip. And then we were having to organize where essentially he had to get off the boat, meet with a notary. I think they ended up meeting at a hotel lobby or something in some random town. The notary had to drive to it. He had to hop off the boat.
He said he woke up that morning. They had pulled into that little harbor. You're right. He jumped off the boat, met them, jumped back on the boat, and kept going on down the river.
Yeah. So. And then the notary got the documents back to us. We were able to close as planned that day. But that's the only time I think that we've had a notary slash boat slash river trip last minute closing situation for a signer.
He was so happy. He was telling my wife. He said, you know, there's some attorneys that, you know, do a lot for their clients, but there's Blue Ink Closing and Title goes extremely out of their way to get things done. So he was super thankful and still remembers that as we do.
We've seen him at a couple of events and still talk about it. We still say that he's one of our favorite clients that we've had.
Yeah.
It was definitely worth it. It was a good memory. It was very stressful at the time, and we not want to delay this closing. So a little bit of that hard work was self-serving.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, but we were happy to get it done for him and for the rest of his family members.
Yeah, that's right. Glad to get it worked out.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, that's all we've got this week. So thanks for tuning in.
Sticking in to the very end of this fun segment.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll that'll end it. Until we see you next time, see ya.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
No representation is made that the quality of the legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.